Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I am your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey. We're back.
We are back with our series titled Stop Barring Trouble.
Yes, Stop Barring Trouble.
Barring.
Basically, what we're talking about is why is it that we're carrying burdens that God never asked us to carry? And this concept of Stop Barring Trouble, this is the third one, I think, in this series. Is that right, Steph?
This is the third one? Yes, this is episode three.
The concept is it's all coming from Matthew chapter 6, which if you have anxiety or worry about stuff, you know this chapter very well. And where Jesus tells us to not worry, stop worrying about things, but he also talks about not worrying about tomorrow because today has enough trouble for its own. So when you and I spend time worrying about stuff we're not supposed to be worrying about, all we're really doing is grabbing trouble from the future and pulling it into today. That's what we call this thing, stop borrowing trouble. The first week of the series was just about why we worry in general. I thought that was a really good one. It's a very personal series for me. I'm trying to work through why I worry about certain things that I worry about that really I probably shouldn't worry about at all, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt like God was saying, hey, you worried about stuff that you shouldn't be worrying about. And that Matthew 6, all of Matthew 6, really, I read a lot because it has a lot. It soothes my soul a lot with regard to anxiety and worry and those things. And so the second week of the series, so we just kind of started tackling them one by one. The second week it was this worry that we worry about that we shouldn't, which is what if I don't have enough, right? And that was a really, really good one. Mm-hmm. That was the last one. So today we're going to talk about one of the deepest fears we carry, and that fear that we carry is what if everything falls apart? Mm-hmm. Like what if everything just goes like worst case scenario type stuff? Like what if the diagnosis is the worst case scenario diagnosis, right? Like we know when we go into the doctor that it might be this, but it also might be this. And so we end up worrying about it being the worst one. Or what if the marriage actually ends? You know, what if I lose my job? What if my child walks away from God? What if this life that I've built sort of crumbles overnight? You know, it's like worst case scenario stuff. What if every single thing falls apart? And the reality is that most of us don't spend our lives worrying about what is. We spend our lives worrying about what might be. That's actually one of the key things about worry, is that the majority of the worry is found in things that probably are never going to happen, not actually what is in front of us. And so our minds are remarkable at creating disasters that never ever come, that never arrive. Psychologists even have a name for it. It's called catastrophizing. Hmm. It's where we in our brains will turn things into the worst, right? We think about the catastrophe. Your mind immediately is jumping to the worst possible outcomes. And our minds are incredibly creative. And unfortunately, we tend to use that creativity in imagining the worst thing. And so instead of using our minds and this incredible creativity we have to think through best case scenarios, we rarely ever do that. We catastrophize, where we create worst case scenarios. So when we go into something, we usually, whatever it may be, that's uncertain, we end up thinking through the worst things that could happen much more than we think through the positive things that could happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw something about that this morning. In fact, someone was talking about how, like, if people have been through trauma and things, like, you can do that to protect you. You think Absolutely. You're protecting yourself, but you're really not.
Absolutely. And that's what in the first week of this series, we talked about really why we worry comes down to control, mm-hmm. right? It's us trying to control the situation, the outcomes, having ourselves mentally prepared for it. So it's like we don't need to mentally prepare ourselves for good stuff, so we don't. But we know that we need to mentally prepare ourselves for bad things, so we do. So we end up, instead of worrying about what is right in front of us or what is actually going to happen, we tend to catastrophize and worry about the worst possible things that can go down. And the culture that we're in sort of encourages that, right? The news cycle profits from fear, right? It social media is amplifying outrage all the time, right? So if you look at social media, what you will find is that the stuff that gets the most hits is the things that is outrageous, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing with the news cycle. I mean, people have been saying this from, I remember people saying this when I was a kid, that all the news ends up doing is talking about the bad stuff and never talks about the good stuff, right? Well, that's because that's kind of what our minds want, right? We want to see those bad things, and that's what gets ratings. That's what gets people to listen. And so algorithms don't reward peace. They reward panic. Fear sells. Peace really doesn't sell. And so the culture is also sort of putting in front of us this catastrophizing situation anyway, right? And we got to remember, the culture is created by us. So if we are people who use our imagination to think of the worst case scenarios, then as we are also people creating media, right, in various forms, we're also then creating media that is worst case scenario stuff too, all the time. But, you know, that's culture. What we as Christ followers have to be thinking about is not culture. We have to be thinking about instead, what does Jesus say? What is the reality in the kingdom of heaven, right? Because as Christians, we believe that we are already in, the kingdom of heaven is already here, right? And so we have to constantly have this battle in our minds where we go, okay, Jesus tells me not to worry. Jesus tells me today has enough problems of its own. And so I have to not go borrow trouble from tomorrow and bring it into today. So if fear is something that is selling, and peace isn't something that is selling, so it's not in front of us in the culture, we have to combat that personally, right? Mentally, spiritually, we have to combat it. So like, for example, John chapter 16, verse 33, watch what Jesus says here.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
All right, so now we're getting Jesus' perspective here going, hey, look, stuff's going to happen. Like, notice that Jesus doesn't promise life won't fall apart. He's not promising that things aren't going to go wrong. He's promising something better than life not falling apart. He's saying that I am still Lord even when life does fall apart. So even if things fall apart and the worst case scenario actually happens, which, by the way, it rarely does it ever, but let's just say that it actually does, Jesus's promise here is that he's still Lord. He's still in charge, even if the stuff in life doesn't go like we want it to go. So the Christian promise is not that life won't fall apart. The Christian promise is not that those diagnoses won't come or that you won't lose those jobs, right? The promise is that Jesus is still Lord. He's still in charge. He's still on his throne no matter what happens. So the question that we want to talk through today is, like, why do we worry like this? And that's because, me and Steph just said this a few minutes ago, that's because we desperately want control of things. That's why we end up worrying about these worst case scenario. Control feels very safe. If I can predict it, then I can prevent it, right? So if in my mind I can go, okay, here's what might come, then I might be able to arrange myself or my situation or my circumstances in some way to prevent it. If I can manage every single outcome that I can think of, if I can think of all the outcomes and I can manage them, then I'll never really hurt, right? Because those things are something that's within my control to manage. But that is just an illusion.
It is an illusion.
Control is an absolute illusion. I've been doing this. I'm somewhat of a control freak. Not as bad as I used to be, but somewhat of a control freak. And I have to constantly remind myself that control is an absolute illusion, right? It is like you know that whole mirage thing where you're in the desert and you're thirsty and you see this, like, water, pristine,
sweet lake.
Right, yeah, it's a beautiful place. And you get up to it and it was just in your mind, you know, it's not really there. Control is the exact same way, right? It's fake. Just pause. I don't even know where I'm going next on these notes, but just pause right here and go, all right, this might freak some of you out, but just go with me. What do you really have control over, really, right? Like, we think we have this false sense of control, right? But what do we really have control over?
Nothing.
Really nothing. I mean, really, really nothing, right? You can't control that your heart is going to beat the next beat. Right? Like, you can't control wherever you're walking out from today, right? Let's say you're at work and you're going to walk out to the parking lot. You cannot control what is going to be happening in the parking lot or what is going to happen on the way home. There's so many variables that you and I have zero control over. And as people of God, we want to consistently move ourselves towards the actual reality, right? Of,
yeah.
I don't have control, but I serve a God, like Jesus just told me, take heart, I've overcome the world, who is in control of all things all the time. But our place is that we don't have control, right? We try to have control over stuff, but it's really just an illusion. And that's one of the main reasons why we worry like this all the time, is because we're trying to think about all the stuff that will happen going wrong so that we can try to fight and control the outcome, but really we can't control it at all. Look what James says in James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Steph, will you read that?
Yes. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.
Yeah, this is really good practical advice that on the surface seems so simple, but it's much, much deeper than that. Like he's saying, hey, look, you know, you guys who are planning this and planning this and planning this, really, at the end of the day, your life's just a mist and a vapor. You don't know what's going to happen next. You can't control it. So he's not condemning planning, right? So it's the answer here is not to go, okay, well, I'm overthinking all these worst-case scenarios of things falling apart, and I'm not supposed to worry like that. So let me just not plan at all. That's not what he's saying. He's not condemning planning. What he's doing is he's confronting the arrogance behind our plans, right? That you think by planning things that you can actually control it. It's an arrogant thought, right? It's arrogant to think that tomorrow belongs to us. It does not. No. The only thing we really have is today. And really, we don't have today. We have this moment in today, right? That's really the only thing that we have. The great illusion is that tomorrow belongs to us. It does not. Tomorrow belongs to the Lord. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in that scripture in Matthew chapter 6, right? That today has enough troubles for its own, right? Let today just be what it is, because tomorrow does not belong to us. Tomorrow only belongs to the Lord. And so he's not condemning that you and I would be planning for things, right? The goal is not to go the complete opposite of this and not ever think about any scenarios whatsoever. It's just, let's confront the arrogance that you and I have in thinking that we can control anything by thinking through and planning out the outcomes of all that stuff, right? Like we should be planners. Like the Bible is very specific about being planners, but you have to plan in reality. Reality is that I'm going to work hard and I'm going to plan, but I don't control tomorrow whatsoever, right? And so, you know, us sitting around worried about whether things are going to completely fall apart and catastrophize everything is really not beneficial. Right. We only really have today and we only really have this moment. Right. Tim Keller, who is a Presbyterian minister, just passed away last year, I think. Presbyterian pastor, minister, writer. Incredible. One of the best Christian minds of our generation. He writes, he says, worry is not believing God will get it right. And bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. Right. So when we worry, we are believing that God's not going to get something right. And then when we're bitter about it, that means that we believe that God got it wrong, right? That first part of that I really like. Worry is not believing God will get it right. You know, when we worry, we are going, God's not going to do God's job. God's not going to get this thing right. God's going to let things fall apart. That's what worry really is, right? And then when you go to the book of Job, for example, the book of Job is a very difficult book of the Bible. It's actually quite controversial, the way it is written. There's all kinds of thoughts about whether Job was a real person or not, or whether we're just experiencing some scripture that's written in an allegorical form. And it's a very difficult book of the Bible to read, because what happens is that Job basically loses everything except his life. So in other words, exactly what we're talking about, worst case scenario, everything falling apart, that's exactly what happens to Job. And it's a weird book, because what you find happening in the beginning of it is that the enemy comes and asks about attacking Job, and God gives him permission to do it, right? So it's a really funky thing if you get to thinking about it, and that's why it's kind of a very difficult book. But what happens with Job is everything does fall apart, right? So the catastrophes that we imagine, they all begin to happen to him, right? He loses everything, everyone, except for his own life, which is what God tells the enemy he can't take from him. And so all this stuff has been falling apart the whole time. Look what Job says in chapter 1, verse 21.
Okay.
As things begin to unravel. Now, they ain't even started to fully unravel, but look what he begins to say in the first part of chapter 1.
Okay. So in that part it says, "And said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised."
Yeah, so you probably heard this before. You've probably heard it quoted like King James Version. "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice that he did not say in this scripture, "I understand while things are falling apart. I'm happy that things are falling apart," right? That's not what he's saying at all. He's not pretending that everything is okay, right? He's just worshiping in it. You know what I mean? Like, he's not pretending like, "Oh, this bad stuff that's happening, it's fine. I get it. It's God's will. I'm happy with it," right? That's not the call. That's not what we're being called to do when life around us sucks or when things are falling apart. What he's doing instead is he's just worshiping, right? Basically, what he said here is, "I don't fully understand what's going on. God gives and God takes away, and I don't really understand how that works, but his name is still holy," right? Blessed be the name. When you say blessed, he is actually saying, "Give blessings upon," right, "the name of the Lord." It's just worship is all he's doing. And so faith is not pretending that pain doesn't exist. Faith is actually trusting God in the middle of the pain. Right? And so nobody's asking you to go, "All right, well, I can't create all these false scenarios and worry about things falling apart. And so when things do fall apart or when things are bad, then faith means that I have to just act like it doesn't hurt." That's not the case. It's not, God's not asking us to do that at all. What he's asking us to do is to trust him in the middle of the pain, that he's the one that actually holds all these things anyway, right? That prayer from Job is... or that worship song that Job is writing, basically, is one of the most quoted pieces of scripture, right? "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Like, he's the one in charge of everything. That is a statement of God is in control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I am not. So to say that God is in control is at the same time to say that we are not in control, right?
Right.
And that he's the one that holds tomorrow. That's what Job is saying there. He's the one that holds tomorrow. So we're not trying to pretend like pain doesn't exist and call that faith. That's not real faith. Faith is trusting God in the middle of that pain. And here's what I think can begin to change everything for us. Many of us believe that peace comes when circumstances become predictable, right? So we can have peace when we can know what's going to happen next. If we can predict the circumstances, then we can be at peace with it. But the Bible is teaching something very, very different, that peace actually comes from the presence of Christ, not from us being able to predict and know what our circumstances are going to be, right? That's the whole thing that Jesus is saying. You can't borrow trouble from tomorrow. You've got to just be in today, right? Because real peace is not found in us knowing and fixing and having the best circumstances or being prepared for all these worst case scenario circumstances. Real faith, real peace comes from just the presence of Jesus in general. Look how Paul says this in Philippians 4. There's a lot of scripture in this episode. Look how Paul says this in Philippians 4. Steph's got it.
6-7.
Yes.
So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
All right. So
Christ Jesus.
I don't know if you caught that, but in Jesus Christ Jesus, same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
It's the order. I'm sorry, y'all.
I don't know if you caught that, but Paul does not promise answers, right? Present your request to the Lord, right? And the peace of the Lord will guard your heart, right? He's not promising answers. He's not promising God's going to tell you this is exactly how things are going to unfold, or this is what's going to happen next, or this is why this happened. What he's promising is peace, right? So think about this. Sometimes God does calm the storm, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes you've got this thing in front of you, this insurmountable, this worst case scenario happens, and he actually calms the storm. In other words, sometimes there is a miraculous move in the moment that changes the direction of what's going on, and the circumstances drastically change, and he calms that storm. But also, sometimes he just calms his child, right, in the middle of the storm. He doesn't calm the storm. He just calms his child. There are times when, as a dad, I'm able to fix the problem, right? But there are some times as a dad where I cannot fix the problem, me personally, right? Not God. I can't fix the problem. But what I can do instead is I can calm my child in the middle of the problem. Either way, God is faithful. So when God calms the storm, he's faithful. And when God calms his child in the middle of the storm, not the storm, he's still faithful, right? In other words, he's still in control no matter what, whether he chooses to calm the storm that's in front of us or he chooses just to calm his child in the middle of the storm. You know what I'm saying? So what if things fall apart? Well, more than likely, you are worrying about stuff that's never going to happen, right? But if those things do fall apart and God does not change that process, then he still can calm and give peace to his child within that storm itself. Either way, God's being faithful through the whole thing. Like, your worst day will never surprise God. This is what gives Christians this supreme confidence, right? He's never shocked or surprised by the things that happen that are the worst things that could ever happen to you. Nothing has ever occurred to God, right? Like, nothing just happened. He just doesn't go, oh, yeah. Nothing has ever caught him off guard, right? He knows everything. He's in everything before it and after it and during it. And so there's never been this moment where heaven said, oh, wait, crap, we didn't see that coming. Let us adjust, right? Whatever it is that's coming, God's already there in it. And so you aren't walking into an unknown future. You're walking into a future that's occupied by a faithful God. That's the game changer. Sorry. So this is the thing that I have to tell myself, because I am definitely a catastrophizer, right? I'm definitely a worst case scenario person. I am a pessimist. I'm one of the worst pessimists. Like, my glass is always half empty with a crack in it. You know what I mean? Like, that's me. And so I'm constantly going, well, this is going to happen. Worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. So, like, I'll give you an example. I said this at church Sunday too, but not the full story. So we went on vacation last week. We're loading up the truck. We got all this stuff in there. And then the truck won't crank. And I immediately go to, oh, crap, it's this. It can't be something simple. It's got to be this. We're not going to be able to go. We're going to get all this stuff out. We're going to find another vehicle. Like, it's going to be worst case scenario. When really, it ended up just being the battery. You know what I mean? So it was like a quick fix. But my mind immediately went to the worst case scenario, right? And so I'm constantly sitting around going, I'm always walking into the unknown. We never know what's going to happen, and it's going to be something bad, right? Like, it's every day is going to hold something bad, and there's this unknown future. If you are a Christ follower, if your faith is in the Lord Almighty, if you are walking in this mindset of the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, he's in charge, blessed be the name of the Lord, like Job says, you actually are never walking into an unknown future, right? You're walking into a future that is occupied by a faithful God. He knows it, right? He's already there. He's already in the middle of it. It's never an unknown future. So this idea of what if things fall apart that we worry about so much, if you believe that God is in all things, goes before all things, right, is in the middle of it and is after all things, then we're really never, ever walking into a situation that's unknown, right? It's just it might not be known to us. But stuff being known to us is overrated. We should probably not know as much as we know about things, because we just end up worrying about them anyway or trying to control them. We're never walking into an unknown future, right? Like, if you're sitting here today and you're that person who is constantly going, oh my God, what if the worst thing happens? You feel like you are walking into the unknown that could be anything. With the Lord, there is no unknown future. He knows it. He's already there. He's already faithful. He's already occupying it. You and I just might not know it, but that's okay, because he's better at it anyway, right? He's the one that actually holds tomorrow. And so when Jesus is telling us not to borrow tomorrow's trouble and drag it into today, that's because God is already in that trouble from tomorrow in the first place, right? It's not unknown. It's just unknown to us. Faithful God is already there. That's the difference maker, is knowing that, yep, some stuff might happen, right? But God's already in it. He already knows what he's going to do with it. He already, like, wouldn't it change our mindsets a lot if we said, all right, yes, there might be a storm tomorrow. God might calm that storm or he might calm me. But either way, he's in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He's already there in that mess. So whatever worst case scenario you are imagining, more than likely it won't happen. But if it does happen, God is already in it. He already has a plan for it. He already has a way he's going to use it. Or all that stuff seems unknown to me, and yet he's going to be there with me in it, right? He's not going to answer all the questions, but he's going to give me peace in those moments. That he's going to guard my heart. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4. Maybe you've spent years trying to, like, hold your life together. I can tell you something freeing right now. You were never meant to do that, right? You were never meant to walk through this life going, how can I hold all these pieces together? This makes me think of moms a lot and women a lot. I think moms and women are constantly walking around, I know my wife is, going, how can I hold all these pieces together? But if you can be free for a minute, like this can free you. You were never meant to do that at all, right? Jesus is before all things. He's the one holding all things together. That's his job. So instead of asking, what if everything falls apart, maybe a better question to ask is, what if Jesus is really enough, even if it does fall apart, right? Mm-hmm. Even if the worst case scenarios actually happen, what if God is holding those two and Jesus is enough, right? See, a lot of times we say Jesus is enough, but where that falls apart in our lives is we still want everything to go like it's supposed to go, right? And if really what we're hoping for in the end is for things to go like things are supposed to go for us and go the best way they can, then Jesus isn't really enough, right? Where we see Jesus being enough is when things actually do fall apart. Even if they do, Jesus is still enough, right? He's still in control. He's still got it. And regardless of what happens here, right, Jesus is still holding me. He's still guarding my peace. He still has my best in mind, right? That everything in the world is happening for two reasons at the exact same time. God's glory and our good, right? Those that stand in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, right? So we're going to talk about it in the next episode, that everything is going to happen that gives God glory, and then also everything is happening for our good. So even if it feels like it's not good for us, he's still faithful and he's still holding all these things, right? So a better question for us to ask is not, what if all these things fall apart? It would be, is Jesus still enough for me even if everything does fall apart, right? He is faithful. The key for me in this whole thing, and this is a tough one for me because I'm constantly thinking about worst-case scenarios. I'm actually setting myself up that way, right? So I set myself up not to be disappointed, right? If I know that the bad stuff can happen, if I tell myself this is probably going to happen, then if it actually does, I'm not disappointed, right? Mm-hmm. This is tough. But the key for me is that part we said a few minutes ago about the future. I'm not ever walking into an unknown future, ever. All right? God already knows it. He's already present. He's already faithful. And he has already even decided that whatever storm comes, he's either going to calm it or he's going to calm me, one of the two, right? And what I've found, if I will, this sounds crazy to say, but if I'll stop asking God to calm all the storms, right, I'll realize that he spends much more of his time calming me, right, than calming those storms. And I come out on the better through that anyway, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The stuff that happens in our lives that is not good, it is the things that will build our faith the fastest if we will realize that God's in control of those and that he can just calm me in those storms, right? He can just tell my mind that it's okay, right? Like, right, and I just told Steph a little while ago, I just told you that, you know, I've been struggling the last couple months, can't really figure out why. So I'm going through all my things in my head and you know, like little checklists and going, okay, how's my sleep? How's my eating habits? How's my workload? You know, how's my family life? What are all these issues? And I can't pinpoint anything. I can't figure it out. I got one little possible thing on this medication that I'm taking for something that might be giving me a side effect. You know what I mean? Like, because you watch all those commercials on TV that every single side effect is, you know, suicidal thoughts and depression and all this stuff and and itchy butts and stuff
diarrhea.
Like that.
You know, right?
So I get this medication I'm taking for some psoriasis and I'm going, all right, well, maybe that's affecting my mood. That's the only thing I can come up with. But I don't really have to play that game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm choosing to play a game that I should not play, right? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't sit around going, hey, what might be causing these things that I'm struggling with? I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that I don't need to be putting all my eggs into the basket of Adam Cook needs to figure this out. What if the Lord just is going to calm my mind through a tough season? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not fix it. There's no real cause. There's no real thing. Instead, he's just going to calm my mind through that season. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Instead of me trying to figure out what might be wrong or thinking about the worst case scenario. Instead, what if what he's really doing is he's just going, hey, look, I'm here. I got you. Right.
Right.
Everything's fine. We're going to work through it because I'm already in the future of it. I'm in the mess today. I was in it before you got here. The faithful one is still here, right? And you're not ever walking into anything unknown, Adam, right? You're never walking anything unknown. I know everything, right? And I'm faithful and I'm capable of calming the storm or just calming you, right? That's the game changer for me. That's where I'm trying to live as much as possible, right? It's like even today when I'm sitting there going through all that with you, it's like, well, it might be this, I can't figure it out. I'm still, for some reason, having this peace about it because I guess I know the Lord still got it regardless. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so my job is to walk faithful in the day that's in front of me, not the future days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
That's the call, right? That's the call. And every time we go, what if things fall apart? What if things fall? What if everything goes to hell, right? What if all this stuff just, every time we do that, we're jumping into tomorrow. Right. And trying to come up with all the things we can come up with. And we're dragging that trouble back into today, which is what Jesus is telling us specifically not to do. And I think one of the main reasons he's telling us not to do that is because he's already there. We're not. Right.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
We have to be faithful in today. What's in front of us right now, not catastrophizing everything that's coming up in the future. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
And you know, the culture around us, that part about, you know, everything is turned into some sort of catastrophe in social media and all this stuff. There's a new trend coming where people are fighting back against the algorithm, right? Matter of fact, I just saw it recently. So MySpace is about to make a comeback, right? And the comeback is based on a social media platform that's not algorithm driven, right?
Yeah.
Right? Instead, it's just is what it is. Instead of it being this algorithm-based thing that's trying to throw at you what it thinks you want to see, and when you look at something, it just then gives you more of it, right? And it's throwing at you the stuff that's going to get the most attention. There's this pushback for MySpace to come back again now where it's just you and your friends and whatever you're posting, and it's not throwing all this stuff at you again, right?
Selling things.
Yes, exactly.
That's all it's become.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and then let me... whatever's going to get the most clicks, the most views, the most whatever, let's throw that in front of people, right?
It's regurgitated material.
It is.
And there's so much of it.
There's a fight back against that. And I think that part of this is, if you go read some of the details on this, and it's not just MySpace, there's a lot of them, on this anti-algorithm stuff, there's a lot of Christian influence in it. And the Christian influence in it is based on exactly what we're talking about, right?
That's cool.
The Christian influence is based on, hey, what if it's just today and today only and not everything else we can come up with in the future and drag it into today, and it's not catastrophizing everything. It's just today. There's a lot of Christian influence going into that. And I think it's because, you know, as we as we as people grow and we begin to lean and learn on the word more, we begin to see that God's not really calling life to look like that, right? God is not calling us to live a life where we figure everything out, right? And we know all the situations and scenarios and outcomes of all things, right? He's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to be faithful with today. And when Jesus, we should pay a lot of attention to Jesus saying this, that today's got enough trouble of its own. There's a lot in that statement, right? In other words, today there's problems. Today there's issues. There's stuff right in front of you got to deal with. But don't jump ahead to tomorrow because you got to live with today. So it's like when Jesus says it, it's such a real statement. It's such reality.
Yeah, you're right.
That today is today. You live in today. You don't have any control of tomorrow. But then also at the same time, today's got problems, right? So it's a very reality sort of statement that he makes, right? That you can't control tomorrow. You don't have any say over it. God loves you. It's all that's baked in. I clothe the birds. How much more do I love you? I clothe the lilies. How much more do I love you? Right. In other words, I got you. Mm-hmm. But then it's also reality of there's still crap that's going to happen today. Right. Like life is still life. You know what I mean? So you got to deal with those and life be lifing. That's exactly right. Like, and you deal with those today, but you don't jump so far ahead tomorrow. And I think the key on this is reminding yourself that there is no unknown future. God knows the future. So we just need to trust that he's faithful in that, and we be faithful in today and in this moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so comforting.
Yeah, and I think the whole part for us to remind ourselves what we said in this episode again, it's worth saying the last time before we wrap up, is that sometimes God calms the storms, sometimes he calms his child. Either way, he's faithful in those storms, you know? And if we can remind ourselves of that, man, it'll be very different. Also, let's remind ourselves that the vast majority of the things that we invent that's going to happen don't happen.
Yeah.
Let's remind ourselves of that too, right? We said that in the last episode. But the most of the time, the stuff that we are creating, worst case scenario, things falling apart, right? Most of the time that stuff doesn't happen at all anyway, right? Sometimes it does. Most of the time it don't.
Right. You're right.
Like just my little example over the battery, right? Like, it could have been a lot worse, but it wasn't. And most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, when I think through worst case scenarios, right, it's not. It's just not. So
it's just not, y'all.
I'm just wrong, right? And that's another principle of this. Most of the time, we wrong. Right?
No, like, you're right that we're wrong.
Anyway, pretty good episode. I think it might help.
There's a lot to pull out of this.
Yeah.
Basically, guys, we are literally worrying about all the things, and he's telling us, do not worry.
Yep. That's it. And that do not worry, he backs it up with, why do I not worry? Well, because God's got you.
Right.
Right. And he's faithful, and he's already there. He's already in it. Right. He's already in it.
He got it.
He's got it. That's the difference. That's the difference in being a Christian in this world we live in and not being one. That as a Christian, we have faith and peace that comes from God who's in all things, and that's our core belief, right?
Yeah, you're right.
That everything is for his glory and for our good, and he's going to work it all out. Even the worst things that happen to us are going to be worked out, right?
Yeah.
We may not see it right now. We may not know it till heaven, but it's all going to be worked out, right? And that's a different worldview than people who do not have faith in Jesus. The people who do not have faith in Jesus can probably justify everything being a catastrophe at some point and everything falling apart. But we can't justify that because our worldview says that God is in control, right? Like, you got to remember that we don't just believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins and get us into heaven. We also believe that he is sitting on the throne.
That's right.
That he is the name above all names, the Lord above all lords. In other words, he is in the supreme position of all of life and eternity. He's in the supreme spot. That he is in charge of absolutely everything. Nothing's happening that surprises him, right?
Yeah.
And so if nothing's, I can walk through life in a lot better way if I go, stuff surprises me. Nothing's surprising my God.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, right?
It's like because we have him, we continue to have hope.
Yes. That's a different worldview. If you do not follow Jesus, I don't know how you get out of bed every day.
I don't know.
Right? Because the world sucks. And it's awful.
It's hard.
And it's getting worse and worse and worse, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you get out of bed every day because, you don't have faith that somebody's in charge of all things and that it's all going to be worked out and that you are being guarded, right? Mm-hmm. You can't. Where would you get peace from, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You couldn't. But our worldview says something very differently. And, you know, these are the times where we actually live out this stuff that we believe. Like when we fight against this worry, right, especially a worry of worst-case scenario worry, when we fight against it, that's when we're actually living out what we say we believe. You know what I mean?
Yes.
These are the ways where you really do live it out. You know, we think of living out our faith as something like, I don't know, something where it's involving us telling other people about it or talking about it. Where we really live out our faith, though, is things like this.
Right? In the everyday.
In the everyday, right? In the everyday parts of life where we go, my Lord tells me not to worry, right? Because today's got enough problems of its own, right? Tomorrow's tomorrow. My Lord tells me not to worry because he's already in tomorrow. So I'm going to live that out and practice it, mm-hmm. You know, practice it. Anyway, pretty good episode.
Yes, very good to reflect on.
Yeah, good one. That's it.
That's it, y'all.
That's all we got.
See you next time.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.